This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let's bring in the coach, Seth Greenberg. Coach, how are we? We doing okay?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing great. Doing great. Any better, I couldn't stand it. I'm getting my shot today. Life is good. Nice. So I'm fired up.
Nice.
It's a step closer to a little bit of normalcy. But, yeah, doing great. Great ball this weekend. A lot of good games. A lot of games that mean a lot this week. So how bad could it be? Mm. And think about this. This week is Duke Carolina, which means next week is championship week, which means next weekend is Selection Sunday. So, I mean, you think about this, of where we were in October and where we are now, man, it's incredible. It's incredible we've gotten to this point, and things are getting better.
Seth, when you look at we can talk about Duke Louisville or Carolina Florida State. Obviously, it's a huge win for the Tar Heels. But the Duke Louisville game, you know, it seemed like it was going to be, once Carolina beat Florida State, that Duke Louisville game had a ton of consequence in it, I thought.
Yeah, it did. And I'll tell you one thing. I mean, you look at this Louisville team, the resilience that they've had. I mean, obviously they've had a serious bout with COVID. And you know, talking to coaches around the country, when you come out of pause, if your team has had the virus, man, it's difficult. It impacts it on the defensive end. It impacts it on their energy, their ability, attention to detail. Not that they're not trying to play hard, but they just are unable to play and compete the way they needed to. But I thought they were terrific. And Carly Jones, he's got to be ACC Player of the Year. So you go from Big South to Player of the Year to ACC Player of the Year. And getting Malik Williams back, I thought was huge, even though he played 19 minutes. When they get Johnson playing well, Williamson playing well, and Jones playing well with Malik Williams now, I'll tell you one thing. They're a dangerous, dangerous team.
So, Seth, you like Carlique over Justin Champagne for Player of the Year?
Yes, not even close.
Why? Just curious.
Winning. Winning matters. Winning matters. This guy's taken this team and kept them alive and put them in the NCAA tournament. I mean, hey, they played with a lot of guys out. Dave Johnson was out. Williams was out. I mean, they played with a lot of guys out. You know what this dude did? Put his hard hat on every single day and came to work. Now, I thought Matthew Hurt was in the conversation for a little bit, and I thought if they won that game, or if they finish, even now, if they finish out the right way, Matthew Hurt might have a shot at the award. But this dude here is fearless. He's fearless. I mean, he's taken a whole program, wasn't even there all summer, played in the Big South a year ago at Radford, and he's basically made them an NCAA tournament team. If you take him off that team, are they an NCAA tournament team? No. But with him, they are.
Wow. Okay, I want to change gears on this since we have this conversation going. I said with Pac earlier, we were talking about Matthew Hurt and Carlique Jones having the showdown, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a vote. I haven't voted. I'm going to vote for all ACC. I have for a few years, and I'm privileged to do it. Matthew Hurt, Carlique Jones. I'm going to throw Justin Champagne on that first team. I got to fill out the rest of my ballot with two other guys. Who am I picking in your mind?
Man, who are you picking? Moses Wright, for sure.
See, because Moses Wright, okay. But let me ask you this. If Florida State wins the regular season, are they going to have a first-team All-ACC player?
Yeah, I'd go MJ Walker. I'd go MJ Walker. He's been their most consistent. Or Raekwon Gray. I think those are the two guys. One of those two guys have to be on thing. Raekwon Gray impacts the game more ways than MJ Walker does. I'm a sentimentalist in a lot of ways. I appreciate MJ Walker and his resilience and the season he's having. Basically running his own race. You know, the whole idea of not being in such a rush, but understanding where he is in that moment in time and the decisions that he's made. He's also made a lot of big shots for them. But I would say either MJ Walker or Raekwon Gray. Yeah, those are the two. But Moses Wright, without a doubt. Moses Wright. Like you look at Moses Wright.
Okay.
He might be the most improved player in college basketball over the last 4 years. I mean, like, the dude dropped 31 this weekend.
Oh, no question.
I mean, 31. I mean, he just gets stuff done. I mean, that's just the way it is. And he rebounds. He scores. He scores. He's moved his game out to the foul line. He can score in a block. I mean, that's going to be interesting. And the game this weekend for for this week with Duke and Georgia Tech is going to be interesting. Because here's my question, real quickly, just to get off. I mean, Duke went to the line 22 times in that game against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech only went 5. Jalen Johnson played in the last game with the Duke Georgia Tech game.
Ooh.
So, I mean, this will be our first game to really look at the teams in their new identities, let's say. So, that game's huge importance for Georgia Tech. That's a game they have to win if they want to stay in the conversation. And obviously, Duke, every game is now a game they have to win to have any chance for an NCAA tournament bid.
I'm going to go back to Chapel Hill with you a second, Coach. You know, last Wednesday, Roy Williams schedules a game they didn't have to play, but he thought it was smart to play just to keep his guys into a rhythm. North Carolina's been playing good basketball. They laid an egg Wednesday night against Marquette. I mean, that was just one of those disconnect, didn't seem interested. Marquette was fired up and beat them, period. There's no excuses. You lost the game. Put even more pressure on North Carolina, I thought, Saturday. Here comes Florida State. And, you know, there was a time late in the first half where they're down 16 where you just got a sense that, hey, guys, if we're going to go to the tournament, we've got to show signs of life. It might have been North Carolina's best 20 minutes of the year. That second half effort, even the tail end of the first half, when they cut it to 12, because that thing kind of felt like it's getting ready to get out of control. They cut it to 12. But, man, the second half, I thought was North Carolina's best 20 minutes of the year. And a critical W as far as making life a little bit easier this week. They still got to win games. Everybody does. But, man, alive, that 20 minutes was really impressive.
Yeah, you can't have bad losses, but they're in the NCAA tournament unless they do something really drastic. And, you know, to me, Walker Kessler, goodness gracious, I mean, he's like a different dude right now. I mean, last four games, what he's been able to do, that's four straight double-figure games, and he was phenomenal. But you know, how can you be so bad? Like you watch that Marquette game. They couldn't take care of the basketball. They didn't compete. They weren't engaged. The first half of Florida State, all right, they're pitching it all over the court early in that game, all right, getting dominated basically. And they were able to get back in the game. And, Pac, you are 100% right. That little run at the end of the half gave them a little bit of life, gave Roy something to grab onto. But in the second half, 22 points in the paint, only 4 turnovers. After you made 12 turnovers in the first half, threw it all over the place. Against the Florida State team, we are all obviously really high on. Now, the one thing about Florida State that's a little bit concerning, I got to be honest with you, in their losses in league, 17 turnovers, 21 turnovers, they got to take better care of the basketball. They got to be strong with the ball. You know, when Carolina extended and got into that pressure, they threw it all over the place. Now, that's not who they are, but they don't have a true point guard per se, and maybe it gets exploited some in those situations, but that was huge. And now what my feeling is, at least, you know, Carolina is going to be in the NCAA tournament. So now they've got to really just clean up. These freshman guards have got to understand three things. And these are three things I emphasize with my guards all the time, especially my young guards. Good shot, bad shot. Good shot, bad shot. Like guys, right now you're not freshmen anymore. You're sophomores. Good shot, bad shot. Risk, reward. Make a simple play. Don't make a hard play. Make a simple play. You don't have to hit home runs, hit singles. And flow with the game. And flow with the game means, all right, if we've got something going, all right, coming out in transition and an 18-footer or 19-footer, even though you're open, if we've posted it 3 times in a row, let's post it a 4th time. And if they can figure those three things out, good, bad shot, risk, reward, and flow with the game, Carolina's going to be really dangerous. If they don't, they're going to be one game like they are against Marquette, one game like they were in the second half against Florida State. It is really that simple.
Seth, when we go down the stretch here and, you know, we know Florida State, Virginia Tech, I keep thinking we're kind of glossing over Clemson here. And Clemson's getting glossed over nationally. Yeah. And yet I hear guys like you talk about their value, but I don't hear them, you know, kind of in majority as a team that would be a threat not only in the ACC, but would be a threat when we get to the big tournament.
Yeah, because, you know, people look at them and they say, can they score? I mean, like, you know, can they score enough against a team that has shot makers? I love what they're doing. You know, like the idea of putting Amir Sims back at the five and moving him around and making him a matchup problem is terrific. They're back to their energy. You talk about teams that came off pauses. When they first came off of that pause, what did they do? They got away from their identity. All right, they didn't guard. They didn't turn people over. They didn't disrupt. Then they got their legs back. They got their energy back. They were able to focus for long periods of time. They were more active. It's just the way it is. They can dominate you defensively. They can really dominate you defensively. And I do think they have enough different guys on the perimeter that on any given night can score it. So I think people are sleeping on Clemson. You know, Clemson's not sexy. It's almost like the conversation that we had in game day this past weekend about brand. Should it have an impact on teams getting in the tournament? And I said, even within a league, because I said that, look, it's not just team identity brands, it's league brands. Like, you know, like we say, well, why do all the Power Fives go? Well, they get more chances to play against good teams, but it's also the branding of the league. It's these leagues we see every single night on TV. But within a league, all right, there's also a brand advantages and disadvantages. And like Clemson, Virginia Tech to an extent, they have a brand disadvantage. And, like, you know, we used to always sit when we were mumbling and grumbling and talking to ourselves when we didn't make the tournament those 48 months. I mean, it sounds silly, but we would sit and look at our resume and go, if Carolina and Duke had this resume, would they have been in? And so I think that's just a perception. Clemson's good. I mean, Clemson's really good. Look at Clemson's quality wins. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to do it off my head. Maryland, Purdue, yeah. I think Alabama. You know, you go down their list of non-conference wins, and they're as good as any in the country. Did they get hit, knocked in their face a couple of times? Yeah, they did. They got knocked back. Well, why did they get knocked back? Goes to the same reason. You come off those pauses. Like, I was watching the Baylor-Kansas game, and I was talking to Tom Izzo on the phone. And he was watching the game also. He goes, this looks just like us when we came out of pause, because Michigan State was hit really bad with the virus. And so was Baylor. I'm talking about really bad, like 7-8 guys on the team. And Tom says, I know exactly how they feel. All right, those kids are trying hard. They're doing all the right things. They just can't find it inside themselves. They're like a little bit foggy, a half a step late. You know, their legs just aren't there. And that's basically what happened to Clemson when they came out of the pause. And talking to Brad, you know, Brad said, look, it was significant. So, yeah, I think Clemson, well undervalued. I think they can get it, be a second weekend team and get it back to another Sweet 16. So all those Clemson fans can finally realize and appreciate Brad Brunell.
By the way, for the record, Clemson to this day still has more Q1 and Q2 wins than any team in the league. They got 9. Yeah. Nobody else in the league has 9. Clemson does. And you rattled off the Bama, Maryland's, Purdue's. You know, that also includes Florida State, Georgia Tech, North Carolina as well. So I'm with you on that. And I will say one more thing. If they can make 11 threes like they did Saturday, Seth, they will be a tough out, because that defense has returned. Oof. And there's a reason they went undefeated in February. It's because they got after people on the defensive end. They never lost a game in February. So I think you're right about that. But, you know, that's been the bugaboo, the consistency of being able to score on the perimeter. When they don't, they can go long periods of time, no matter how good your defense is. You got to be able to score at some point in time, especially in this day and age. But if they make 11 threes per game moving forward, they'll be a tough out.
Yeah, no doubt. And Brad's done a great job. And people, you know, people need to appreciate him. Right. He's rock solid, man. Oh. He is as good as it gets.
Yeah, Brad Brunell will be with us at 9:30. More with Seth Greenberg as we roll on a Monday. You know, we got a week to go in the regular season. A lot of teams are going to play games. Come back and talk about the map, the schedule. Like, for instance, you know, Syracuse played the other day in Atlanta. Now they're playing Carolina at home. Miami is at Clemson. Now they're at Virginia. What's that road look like going down the stretch? Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Seth Greenberg with us as usual. Seth, I mentioned to Wes last hour, to me, one of the big stories this week, maybe the biggest story this week, is the battle for the double bye and how important that is for any tournament, much less the ACC. And again, Florida State and Virginia in a great spot. But the fact that we're going to have an unbalanced schedule, winning percentage is the key, not necessarily the fact that everybody's going to play 20. We know that's not going to be the case. So it is going to be fascinating to watch the jockeying as far as winning percentage to be one of the top four this week and teams you have to play and who's not playing games of note. I mean, it's really going to be cool when we get back here a week from today and go, hey, here we go. Teams A, B, C, and D, you're not going to see them till Friday. And that is a big deal to be able to have at least a couple days off while everybody else has to worry about playing games.
That's almost as big as Brooks's birthday today. Just want to let you guys know, our boy Brooksy, it's his birthday today. So, I mean, that you know, getting the double bye is one thing, but Brooksy's birthday is another thing. So I want to wish my man Brooksy a happy birthday, keeping you knuckleheads in line. Now that we've got that out of the way, Brooksy, have a great day, 36. You don't look a day under 40. Look, to me, look, when you think about the double bye, now think about this. Before the season, I mean, the double bye could be Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. Am I close here? Clemson and Florida State.
Yes.
Is that right? Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Could be, right?
So
raise your hand if you had those four getting the double bye.
Now, wait a minute. Virginia's got to be in the hunt there somewhere. Now, I know the Hoos have lost three
Virginia
in a row.
Yeah, Virginia's there. All right, yeah.
Well,
right,
you got so, five so, teams for well, four spots. You're doing Wes math on
me. I'm not saying those are going to be the four. I said those could be the four.
Sure. Right.
All right. I mean, those are the ones that are in the conversation. Yeah. Virginia's the fifth one. So even if you throw Virginia in that mix, all right, you're not going to have Carolina, right? You're not going to have Duke.
Well, wait a minute. Why can't you? Right? Wait. Why can you not have North Carolina? I mean, they're 9-5. Clemson's 9-5.
Well, because what I'm saying this is hypothetical.
There's a lot of teams with a
shot. Yeah, you've got seven teams within three games. Now, Georgia Tech's at the back end of it because they're 9-6. They've got to have a lot of things happen in front of them to achieve the double bye. But there is Florida. If Georgia Tech makes it, Florida State will be one because there's three games separating them with two to play. But the others all have four losses. And to Seth's point, the combination of those games, and here's the way you look at it on the screen, Florida State and Georgia Tech are at the top and at the very bottom, but the fours and the fives in the loss column, Seth, and this is the other thing I said with Pac, and this is really dangerous for me to start talking about it, is the difference in the number of games played and the winning percentage. And then there is a sequence where the winning percentage would then default to the head-to-head if the two teams played. Imagine that. But you're right. You could have any of those seven potentially claim the four double byes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, in a normal year, you're looking at who would we get the double buys, and it doesn't fit the scenario we're all used to. Like, you know what I mean? It used to be, well, you Duke and Carolina and probably Virginia. Because people didn't realize how good Florida State was. Or you'd say Duke, you know, Carolina, Virginia, and Florida State. You've got other teams in the mix. And I think that's the thing is, which I think is good for the league. I really do. I think it's good for the league. Now we're separating. What Florida State's done is we've got to out of the mindset of football schools, basketball schools. Because let's face it, when I got into the ACC, all right, like we were thinking, oh, Virginia Tech's in the league, they have no chance. They're going to devalue the league. And then all of a sudden we won a bunch of games, and well, the league has to be down. Well, now because Florida State's been consistently good, now because Virginia obviously has been very, very good, now because Clemson has been pretty consistently good, people understand you can have both, and there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, the job that Mike Young has done at Virginia Tech has been phenomenal.
I want to follow up with you under that thought. Tonight, Syracuse plays North Carolina. When Syracuse joined the league, all of us thought, man, what a great basketball addition, right? I mean, you think Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, obviously. Mm-hmm. Here we are with Syracuse, Coach. In the last 4 years – The Orange are 35-35. And it just seems like every year they're either 10-8 or they're 8-10. They're 8-8 or they're 7-7. I mean, they have been, if you defined average, you would see a picture of Syracuse basketball. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but the thought process was Syracuse was bringing something to the table from a basketball perspective. And I'll be honest with you, as an ACC fan, I don't know if I've gotten that with Syracuse and the ACC as far as what I really thought they were going to bring to the table.
Look, Syracuse is a great basketball brand. Obviously, you got a Hall of Fame coach. And, you know, right. You talk about 8-8 and 10-10 and all that stuff. You remember the old days when Bobby Kremer said, 8-8 in life is great. You're automatically in the NCAA tournament. Well, those days don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And of all the teams that made the transition in realignment, you know, Boston College and Syracuse got hurt the worst. And that's just – and probably Maryland in a lot of ways leaving the league. But, I mean, because they lost their natural geographic footprint of recruiting. It's as great as the league is. It's not as sexy to maybe a New York kid or a Connecticut kid or a Philly kid to some extent as the old Big East was. I mean, that's just the way it is. And then, you know, league, more teams have emerged. I mean, look, things don't stay the same forever. Syracuse is still a great brand, but other programs have emerged, and the game has changed. And the game has changed, the zone became less effective because people are shooting it deeper. They're opening up the floor. Everyone's playing with an extra ball handler, not just playing post-to-post basketball. The athleticism in the league has dominated them, not dominated, but impacted them on the offensive glass. So, you know, Syracuse, yet they've been to NCAA tournaments. They've been to Final Fours. They've had runs, but they're not the brand that they were before. And let me ask you this. Are they not the brand, overall, the brand they were prior because they don't have those natural rivalries? When you thought of Syracuse, what did you think of?
Big East.
Syracuse-UConn?
Yeah.
Syracuse-Georgetown?
Nova.
All right. Who's their rival? Who's their rival now?
You're right.
Who do I mean, like, when you think within the league, who's their rival?
Right.
Like,
and
who does like Syracuse go? I'll tell you what, Duke. That's it.
Duke.
Because and that the reason that's a rival is because Mike and Jim's relationship, and early on with the game that Jim got tossed, ripping off the coat. It's great video. You know, it makes for a good storyline. But they don't even have a natural rival in the league. Like Virginia Tech, we went to the league. You know, we had Virginia Tech. All right, we fit the geographic footprint. We had games that we played that our fan base could relate to. As great as the ACC is and as great as the tradition is, all right, the Syracuse fan base, all right, what do you think that when they look at it and they've got a game against NC State, when they got to play Clemson, all right, when they got to play Virginia Tech, even though Virginia Tech was in the league in – I don't think it's the same. Now, is that a reason why they've been 35-35? No. I mean, look, you're playing in the ACC. It's tough. But they don't have that natural connection to the teams in the league. And I think that hurts them.
Okay. I want to follow up. Here's Pat Kraft at Boston College. BC, we've talked about resources, facilities, all those type things. Pat Kraft's got a chance to make a move to enhance Boston College's basketball brand. Use your word, not mine here. What's he looking for? Not who's he looking for. What's he looking for?
I think he's looking for a high-energy guy that can recruit high-level players. The one thing that since Al Skinner's been gone, I mean, you know, think about how many guys that they've recruited that could really impact this conference. How many first-team all-conference players that they had? How many second-team all-conference players they've had? They've hired very, very good coaches, but they haven't hired guys that understand the level of player you need to play in the league. You got to get old and stay old, and I understand that. That's very important. You got to get lucky with a couple of guys. That's very, very important. But you also got to recruit some dudes. You got to recruit some guys that want to go and play at the highest level, and you've got to have people that have that network and those connections that will open up doors. Tricky players make tricky coaches, and you know, you can develop players, but like even, you know, I've been out of the league 9 years, even 9 years ago. You know, right now you have a good player and you're not winning. If you're Boston College, you have a good player and you're not winning. Jamarius Hamilton played for Maryland last night, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good player. You're not winning. the way things are now and the way things are going to get, where immediate eligibility for one-time transfers, you're losing those guys because these guys want to play in a tournament. They want to play big games. They want to play games that mean something. They want to play games that get them into the tournament. So, you know, I think recruiting is as important as anything. Player development's the second most important thing. And it's someone that's going to bring some energy, that's going to go and touch people on that campus and get someone excited about something besides hockey in the winter.
Good points. All right. Good luck. We'd love to see some video of you swinging the orange whip when it arrives, by the way, just because, you know, we know how valuable the golf experience is for you.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And it'll probably maybe be a picture of me getting my shot today, looking away because I'm a marshmallow.
And if I learned one thing today in our 30 minutes with you, is that today is Drew Brooks.
One thing?
If I learned one, yeah. I learned a lot. But if I learned one thing, I learned that Drew Brooks' birthday is today. I did not know that.
Brooksy. Yeah, Brooksy, have a great day, man. Keep these two knuckleheads in line.
Yeah,
you did a great job.
Yeah, he did. He didn't do a very good job at all of disclosing that information, by the way. Thank you, Coach. Have a great week. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks,
Seth Greenberg,
safe.
A part of
be
our
good.
College basketball coverage here on ACC Thanks. Network and ESPN. Same to you and your family. When we come back, we will chronicle the month of February with the world-famous notepad. The best offensive player, defensive player, story, biggest disappointment, surprise, and the best game, or in this case for me, duel, next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. It is March the 1st, and not only is it Barbara Packer's birthday, it's Drew Brooks' birthday. How about that? Sliding that one right underneath without us even knowing anything about it. Shame on us for not knowing that. That's what we get. All right, Wes, the first day of the month means we look back at February. We do this 12 times a year. It's called Notepad. We give you the best offensive player, the best defensive player, best story, biggest disappointment, biggest surprise, et cetera, et cetera. And I will lead in our first category, which is the best offensive player any sport regarding the ACC. And I went with the guy that finished off the month with a 37 spot. Matthew Hurt has been tremendous in the month of February. So big 2-1 for DUKE gets my nod as the best offensive player in the ACC in the month of February.
That's a good one. I think Hurt is you know, Seth's talking ACC Player of the Year. He's got a chance. Guy's been unbelievable. He's first team for sure. Matthew Hurt had a great month. I go with, on the ladies' side, Elizabeth Kitley. We talk about Dana Evans and Elisa Cunane a lot on this show, and rightly so. But Liz Kitley every night is a dang near double-double, Pack. 18 points, almost 9 rebounds. Kenny Brooks' team needed to bounce back. She was at the center of it for Virginia Tech.
I know they had the tough loss to North Carolina yesterday, snapping their win streak, but Virginia Tech will be a dangerous team in the women's tournament, which begins on Wednesday this week here in Greensboro. But, yeah, Kitley's been out of sight and consistently good. Regardless of the month you pick, she has really put up great numbers.
Yep.
So, solid. I think both those picks, you can't go wrong either way. One way or the other. All right, we go from offense to defense. And as opposed to a best defensive player, I went with a group here. And I went with Clemson, period. 5-0 in February, giving up an average of 56 a game. Remember that COVID pause when they were just getting obliterated and just looked like they were running around in quicksand? Well, guess what? By the time they got healthy – and they looked at that schedule, and now all of a sudden they put the clamps on people. And Clemson defensively is filthy good. So the Tigers D, 56 a game, never lost a game in the whole month. They get the nod as the best defense, period, as far as I'm concerned.
I think a guy who could very well be the defensive player of the year in the ACC is my defensive player of the month. And that is Jose Alvarado of Georgia Tech, who has He was in the top three in steals nationally, leads the ACC. He's finished the weekend fourth in Division One, in the league, by the way. Now, that's his overall numbers, right? Against conference opponents, he's averaging better than three steals a game, Pac. He's got 46 steals in 15 games. That's crazy.
That's why I think they're a dark horse. I just like what Georgia Tech does. Now, can they pull it off for a whole week in Greensboro? I don't know. We'll find out next week. But right now, the Jackets are rolling. They've won four straight, and life is good in the ATL. All right, best story of the month. Yep. There were a number of different angles for me on this, and I wasn't exactly sure which way to lean, so I decided to do something a little different. I went lacrosse. I mean, number one, it's great to have the season underway, but the fact that every single team that plays lacrosse in this conference, men's and women's lacrosse, were ranked at the same time. Are you talking about, hey, who's the easy out in the league? Let me answer that for you. It does not exist. Every single team has a number beside of it. Now, I don't. You pick your favorite sport in your favorite conference, and I dare you to come up and match that stat. Well, that's nice, but everybody in this league has a number beside their name. That's how good the conference is. Best story.
No, it's lacrosse for sure. I went with again, a little off the direct. I went with Sam Latona of Virginia Tech determining the regular season title in the final seconds of a Friday night duel against Pittsburgh. Just the whole momentum of the moment and the way everything came together for the Hokies of Coach Roby. Latona had a phenomenal year and gets the regular season title.
Of course, what you're seeing is the highlights against NC State, which we'll get to, which I'm going to get to at least in a minute.
NC State, right.
We'll get to that in a second. Biggest disappointment of the month. It's kind of a tag team here. It's February. It's crunch time. Student-athletes have gone through the grind. You're coming down the stretch. We got the regular season at stake. But the whole opt-out situation of really good players at both Duke and Pittsburgh, to me, were disappointments. Yep. And I'm not being critical of anybody. I said from day one, student athletes have every right to do whatever they want to do. You got to be held responsible for your own decisions. But the opt-outs this late into a year, really, really, from a personal standpoint, disappointing, because I'm saying this now as a fan. Just want to see you play. Just want to see you compete. You're playing a great league in the ACC. Right. You're at Duke. You're at Pittsburgh, respectively. These are really good players. And just hate it. Now, again, I hope it works out, and we transfer, NBA, wherever you want to go next. I hope it all works out for you. But this late in the year, you just want to see everybody kind of close it out.
We talked about the missed games last week. I don't care if it's men's basketball, women's basketball, wrestling, whatever it became. The fact that we continued to miss so many ACC events in the month of February is my biggest disappointment. We showed you the list of games that hadn't been played and teams that hadn't seen each other, and there's a real good chance we're going to go to Greensboro and somebody's going to see each other for the first time. I just think that's a – it's just – I'm glad we've gotten through it, but to me that still remains the bigger disappointment.
But that was, that was a disappointment in December and January, February. What I'm hoping is that we don't have it in March.
It's been consistent for me, Pac.
Yeah, I know. But I hope we don't have it in March, when it really, really is going to be imperative that we get a start and a finish to the tournaments. That, to me, is going to be the most important thing. All right, biggest surprise of the month of February. For me, I go men's basketball. I didn't see Virginia losing three straight. Losing the game finally? Yeah, okay. And there's no shame losing to Florida State. Nobody wins there. I didn't expect the Hoos, after we gave you the stat of going 59-9 at the time, and then go L. Now, tonight, I suspect they'll take care of business and get back into winning ways, knocking off a Miami team that's completely depleted. But just did not expect to see Virginia lose three consecutive games in February, much less anywhere else.
Right. No, I'm with you on that. That's a good one. For me, the biggest surprise was the emergence of Georgia Tech on the women's side to finish third in the ACC and to get the double bye. Nell Fortner clearly in the Coach of the Year discussion. Just a marvelous job. Despite the struggles of February, this chronicled piece of work that took them to a three seed is just really remarkable. When you think about kind of the way the change in that program happened and there were opt-outs and there were roster moves and things like that, her return to coaching has certainly paid off for the Yellow Jackets. There's no question about that.
And Georgia Tech, part of the double bye, which is a beautiful thing of finishing third. They'll get the winner of Thursday's Notre Dame-Clemson game. So that will be a Friday performance for the Jackets during the ACC Women's Tournament. Finally, the last one is the best game of the month. The second it happened, I knew there would not be
anything.
And we anything.
Both put the same thing.
There's no way there's going to be another event, at least I didn't think there would be, in the month of February that would be better than the Friday night duels of Virginia Tech and NC State that literally came down to the last second in an upset for Virginia Tech to win. And I remember the next day driving up to beautiful Farmville, Virginia, with my beautiful bride, Amy. And we're buying some rugs up there at Farmville. And guy putting a rug in there said, man, did you watch that Friday night? And people were buzzing about it. Hokey, hokey, hokey high. And that was just, that was almost a made-for TV movie is what that was. It was incredible. It was in drama-filled. It was right here on a Friday night on ACC Network. So that was my number one in February.
Yep, it was good. Virginia Tech and NC State, Friday night duels. It really delivered. More of that to come. We'll catch up on wrestling before the show's over. And, in fact, we got more coming up for you all week long here on ACC Network as we put the close on February with the notepad. ACC Women's Basketball Tournament is this week. Starts on Wednesday. We've got semifinals from Greensboro for you at noon and 2:30 Eastern. And the ACC Championship game is Sunday on ESPN2. Both semis are right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, oh, man, we told you, wrestling, lacrosse, we got it all. Champions handed out over the weekend. Heavyweight deal was for the money, too. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
Yeah, it is.
For the program. All right. We talked a lot of hoops today. We've given you a notepad. We got so much more lined up for you coming up for the Power Hour. But, Wes, we had championships left and right this weekend in multiple sports, which included wrestling. And we made a big stinking deal last week of, hey, it's going to be on in Raleigh, and it was. It did not disappoint yesterday.
Big stinking deal.
We did. It was on last night in Raleigh.
No, it was fantastic. You got a two-hour look through to the ACC Wrestling Championships at Reynolds Coliseum, and NC State captured their third straight crown. First time since the late 90s when North Carolina won three straight. You see Deontay Wilson there at the top of the highlights, winning the 285 at the heavyweights against Hunter Katka of Virginia Tech. Just some unbelievable performances by Coach Pops' group, right? I mean, really, really impressive, Pack.
The league is impressive. I can't emphasize this enough. NC State walks off with the championship. We'll see a ton of these guys in the national championships from an individual standpoint. It's fun. I think our network does a tremendous job covering it. I think folks have bought into watching it and having fun on Friday night with the duels. We love having Rock Harrison on here break it down for us. And for all of us, I think I speak for almost all of us on this show, we're novice at best when it comes to the expertise in terms of wrestling. But the one thing we know is that we've got some talented dudes in this league. And you start talking about five ranked teams in the top 20. The league has really bought into it, and the coaching is great. NC State has built a beast. Virginia Tech is really, really good. So is North Carolina, Virginia. Go through the whole list here with Pitt. listen, wrestling's here, man, and it's a perfect fit on ACC Network. But everybody was displaying some serious skills yesterday in Raleigh because everybody came together and the best of the best got after.
Yep. Corbin Myers of Virginia Tech ends up being the most outstanding wrestler at 133. But Tariq Wilson was a champion. We showed you some of his clips. Austin O'Connor from Carolina wins at 149.
He had to rally, Russ. He was behind.
Hayden Hydeley.
He's the number one dude, right? I mean, we talked about Austin O'Connor on a Friday show, and he found himself in no man's land and had to come back for the W. But like I said, there's so many incredibly talented dudes in this league in wrestling. And I'm looking forward to watching the NCAA championships. I've said this before. I know so many folks who cover that event. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about everybody can show up and the crowds and everything else, to a man, I've not heard of anybody that's covered that event that doesn't say that might be the most intense NCAA championship is wrestling.
Yeah. I know that Rock Harrison's going to move over to work with Mike Cousins on, I think, the Big 12 event that'll be shown on the platforms and our family of networks here in the next couple of weeks. But Adam Amin, who used to work with us on ESPN, told me years ago, the NCAA wrestling championships are a sensational event to go to. I have no idea what this year will look like. But, man, sure would be fun to have a look-see at an event like that, wouldn't it? To be a part of something, to just see what kind of environment that is with all the circles set up and guys going at it for a day or two. Be fun to keep an eye on, wouldn't it?
No doubt. But congratulations, NC State. Again, back to back to back. And Pat, again, all the coaches have been terrific with us, and the student athletes are awesome. Our man Quinn had a tough time, though, at UVA, though, didn't he? He had a tough time. Fat Boy Fridays.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to bring your A game in this event. You're not going to backdoor anybody in this league now.
That's it.
Our boy struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
It's all right. Still one of our buds.
Quinn did not make the finals. Deontay Wilson beat Hunter Katka of Virginia Tech. So there you go. Let's go to lacrosse, shall we? We said that Saturday night at 6 o'clock was going to be big, Pac. It turned into a great game. Syracuse, Virginia at the Dome in lacrosse, and John Desco's Orange come up. They double the number on Lars Tiffany's team. 20-10 the final.
After all the numbers we gave folks about scores, points for, points against, 50-50 wins and losses, this became a woodshed. And even though I was in the ATL, I could hear Josh Macri screaming at the top of his lungs that the Orange are back. Orange are back. National championship or bust in Syracuse, NY, baby. Tough day for Lars Tiffany now. Syracuse got after him big time in the Dome. Big time.
Ooh. Sure did. Largest margin of victory for either team in the series between the Cavaliers and the Orange. Other lacrosse notes for you. North Carolina beat High Point 27-12.
Just scored again.
The most goals scored by the Heels since 2001. Just again? Okay.
They just scored.
Got it?
Just another got a point note. On the Breaking board. News. It's 8:52 a.m. in North Carolina. Just scored on High Point again in lacrosse.
Look at that bullet.
No, North Carolina's
I mean, stop. Come on. Look at... Wow.
You know, and that's not beating the Mark Packer, Marshmallow, you know, that was a real team. I mean, High Point's 50th in the country, and the Heels went, okay, cool, that's watch this. Doink, 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 doink. I mean, 27.
Yeah, here's 27. Gracious. We put 27.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
Duke a winner over Air Force. Notre Dame beat Robert Morris as well in ACC lacrosse. So there you have it, right? Duke a winner over the Air Force. And we said that Notre Dame beat Robert Morris. 19-7, the final for the Irish of Coach Corrigan, right? Another Corrigan.
I told you, the league is so good. I mean, every time we give you a lacrosse highlight,
there you go.
Here's what you're going to see. Two things. One, talent, and two, a number besides somebody's name. Those are two guaranteed. Anytime you see a lacrosse highlight on our show, or you watch men's lacrosse or women's lacrosse on ACC Network, you're going to see one talent and two, a number beside their name. Because that the league is stupid good. Stupid. 27 goals, Wes.
No question.
27.
27, yeah. I don't think I could score 27 goals if I stood out there for half the day and nobody else was on the field.
What's the time period again?
You gave me the stick and the ball. Wait a minute, I don't think I could get to 27.
For a full day?
Half the day.
Well, half a day.
Half the day. Like 7 a.m. to 7 to about 2. 7 to about 2.
Is it
7 a.m. to about 2 p.m., nobody else on the field, me and the stick.
We have good weather. Are you assuming that's with good weather? Because with bad weather, I don't know if you got that in you, with bad weather. Because you seem to be a guy like Goff that, hey, if it's kind of a like a day-to-day right now in Charlotte, blowing, wet, you're not going out there. So it's got to be a perfect day for you. You could do 27 in a half a day. Bad weather? Nah, you're out. You're tapped out.
All right. Nah, no chance. You know what we can do? We can do best and worst of the weekend in the Power Hour. And Brad Brownell at 9:30. Coach of the Tigers. Yeah.
Number 200.
Wait till he hears that you predicted they'd win five straight.
I did. I told you.
Yeah. That 200 for Brad Brownell.
And
you predicted
and
they'd win five straight.
And that was one of those true, false, over, under, yes or no's, bark or bites. And I get them all confused. But one of the questions a couple weeks ago was would there be an ACC team to win five in a row? And I said, true. And I said, I can tell you who the team's going to be. Hate to tell you. I was right about that.
Yeah.
Not right very often, but I was right about that one.
That's exactly right. All right. So Brad Brownell coming up at 9:30 on the other side. As we move into the Power Hour, the best of the weekend, and the list is long and lengthy. Remember, Packers said we were going to get to things like fencing before we were done. And we will.
Since dirt. We got to
because
since dirt
fencing,
with fencing
is on the best of the weekend.
Since dirt with fencing.
Since dirt. That's right.
It's coming.
Since dirt. So
is that one right
there. We will cover best of the weekend and worst of the weekend. Oh, somebody got thrown
Louisville.
In the pool.
Since dirt.
Who got thrown in the pool? Was
wet
that Brooks
dirt.
For his birthday?
Yeah, mud.
No, Brooks got thrown in the pool to celebrate his birthday. Yeah. All right, sit tight. Best and worst of the weekend coming up next on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.